Blog Talk Radio.
Well, your dad's gum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dad's gum, dad's gum. Government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Where you get dumb, get dumb, get dumb government.
Well, welcome to Handling the Truth. We had a little bit of technical difficulty here, but we are now up and live, and our guests are ready to go, and I'm looking for my co-host. This is Terry Dodd, and I'm here tonight with Mike Gaddy, and don't see Mike. You're not on here yet, are you? Yeah, he'll be with us here shortly. Let's open this with a prayer and get going. Almighty Father in heaven, we're just thankful for a beautiful day here in Colorado, and we want to take a deep breath tonight and bring your truth forward. We ask for your spirit to be with us here tonight and to help us to do things that are pleasing to you, and I pray for our listeners that they have an open heart and mind tonight, and especially for our guest. And I pray for their protection and for their wisdom. It's in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, Yahshua HaMashiach, that I pray. So who have I got? Have I got Kristen and Wendy on here?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can
got
you hear
both
me
of
okay?
You. I sure do.
Good. Okay.
So the only rule is that you each have to speak one at a time.
We'll try.
Yeah, we'll try.
So
exactly.
You gals have been really doing a bang up job up there in Idaho, from what we're hearing. Enough so that you're over the target, and they're starting to come after you. So sounds like. Your Facebook pages have all been wiped out and being censored, which means you're accomplishing something. You gals are somebody now.
Yeah, right. So
Mike's on here with us. Mike, you want to say hello to the ladies?
Hello, ladies.
Hey,
hello.
Mike, how are you?
Hey, doing good.
Good to hear your
well,
voice
Mike,
again.
You want to give Wendy an introduction, and I'll give Kristen an introduction?
Well, I tell you what, go ahead with Kristen, because I'm going to have to think up 10 years of stuff on Wendy.
Stop it.
Well, I'm not going to say how many years of stuff I've got on Kristen.
You've got intimate details there, Dad.
Intimate details, definitely. Well, I've known Kristen for a while, like all of her life. At any rate, Kristen has always been a passionate individual, and also someone who had a lot of common sense, which, you know, I have questioned on numerous occasions. But since moving to Idaho, she's had her ear to the ground. I know for one thing, she was at the standoff down at the Bundy Ranch, and so she's been a patriot and an activist for many years. First when she lived in Colorado, and now in Idaho, and glad she's hooked up with some good people up there. And I know that right now in Colorado, it's a nasty place to be because of this perverted governor that we've got. But I understand you're having your share of problems with the governor up there in Idaho as well. So That's probably enough enough introduction for Kristen.
Thank you.
Well, Dad, I thought you could have done a little better than that, but I'll skip over that. I walked into a church in Bayfield, Colorado to attend a 9/12 meeting. Has it been 10 years ago, Wendy?
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah, and I walked in, and there was this beautiful lady up there, and I had already heard about her, but I hadn't met her before, so I walked up and introduced myself, and I told her, this is your meeting. I'm just here to listen because I don't even live in your area. We started off from there, and we became close friends, and Susanna and I have been out with Wendy and Dennis on multiple occasions, and we have communicated over the years, and I am sure that probably, like most folks, for the first few months that Wendy knew me, she was absolutely, you know, she really thought I was nuts, and now she's sure of it.
You're crazy, 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 but you're right.
Well, ladies, tell us about Idaho. The wife wiped off your Facebooks. They've done all this other stuff. And Wendy, you and I kind of chatted a bit about this because I thought Idaho was going to be a target. I really did. It's because so many people were moving to Idaho. There was a real chance for a freedom, really a grassroots movement there because most of the people who had lived there prior had that mindset. And I knew that the other side had to be looking at as a future enemy stronghold, and they had to start making inroads, and they had to do it quick.
Well, you're a psychic. Because that's exactly what's happened. I mean, in the few months since the virus started, the difference is just amazing here. I mean, it's different. It's kind of like the virus kind of set it all in motion, like I think it was supposed to. And you're exactly right. I mean, Idaho, the people in Idaho are so amazing. They were so far ahead of the game as far as knowing that what the rights were and how to fight for the rights. They've been doing this for a long time. You can tell because these people are serious about it. They do a great job. This People's Rights Group is just amazing. I love the organization. Antifa and BLM, and all those wonderful folks have definitely put a bullseye on Idaho now, and I don't even put my last name on stuff, and I've had a reporter ask me for my name. I was like, absolutely not, because BLM and the Antifa, they're in our local government here. I mean, they have on their Facebook pages that they're resistance leaders, and they're in our county tax assessor's office. Those people are walking on our property, in the form of government. It's so crazy.
Yeah, we had a big people's rights meeting with one of our state reps here, she's just been a freedom fighter for a long time. She's just really awesome, and we had a meeting with her as our speaker, and we had a bunch of little local protesters show up. And guess who's leading that protest? Our county clerk. And guess who else is there protesting with them? Our city mayor. So,
well, that's to be expected because it's elected officials are easily bought.
For sure.
Because most of them had to buy their way into getting elected. So they've already said, look, I'm for sale. They've got a for sale sign on anyway.
Yeah, that's become brutally obvious to me. We've also recently, I meant to get a copy of that memorandum of understanding. I totally blew it on that. There was a memorandum of understanding that came out regarding this the federal funds funneling into the state and to the different districts, the health districts and what have you. And one of the state reps kind of privately, secretly got that memorandum out, and it proves that in exchange for the funds that we receive from the federal government, they have an understanding of basically a contract of what they will do in exchange for receiving those funds. I mean, it's right there in black and white.
Well, and they get weekly, correct, from the federal government of how Idaho is supposed to be handling COVID. And if they waver from that, then I'm assuming that their funding goes down. And so that's, it's typical stuff.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, is when I've written to our senators and state reps, the ones that, like when I was writing about, we were trying to get that special session together back on June 23rd, after 90 days had exhausted from the declaration of the state of emergency, I wrote to them and urged them to go and do this special session because that's what their responsibility was to do that. And the ones that didn't want to do that, they all wrote me back. And in so many words, they all admitted that they didn't want to lose the funding and that they were scared of being sued because the attorney representing the governor basically put out a memo that threatened everyone and said, if you show up to this, then you're exposing yourself to a lawsuit. And so they were either scared or bought or both. But they admitted in these emails that are, these stock emails that they're sending out back to everybody saying they don't want to lose the funding. They don't even lie about it. They don't even hide it.
And I think that's the only thing Idaho's maybe a little behind because, as you know, we lived 10 years ago in Colorado. Congressmen and governors and all the races that we dealt with there. And I think the Idaho people are smart enough to know the government's bought, but I'm not quite sure if they understand the level of how bad it is. Because, we were fighting the school board, Kristen and some other ladies were at the school board this week, and they did a phenomenal job in talking to the school board. Well, come to find out, they're getting $500,000 of CARE Act money. You're not going to change any policies on that board because they're bought with $500,000. So, you can talk and scream and write and everything else. They're not going to give up the money.
Yeah, on that note, I mean, you're probably right. I still have a little bit of hope, so I'm going to continue to fight the fight. But I'm curious because there is one school district up in this region that has managed to not issue any kind of mask requirements for the students. And I want to do more research on that because surely they were offered the same money, that our district was offered. I just wonder if they just decided not to accept the money or if they're still getting the money, or I wish I could find out more about that and how they're doing it, and why we can't do that.
Well, what you're talking about is not uncommon at all. That is their primary function, has been for years. A lot of people don't realize it, but the federal government started buying off local police and county police. They started buying them off with federal loans for law enforcement years ago. And what the federal government would do to rake them in was they would say, okay, here's what we're going to do. You need five new officers in your department. So the federal government is going to pay their salaries for the first 3 years on the condition that you raise taxes to pay their salaries after those first 3 years. So once the federal government paid their salaries for 2 years, 3 years, whatever, then the county or the city had to raise taxes to pay for those, and the federal government just kept adding that on. They would give them more grants for more officers, more grants for more officers, until now the federal government controls all local and state police agencies.
Yeah. Right.
And we kind of... I don't know if I'm cutting out or not, but Kristen, when we were at the school protest last week, remember when we were talking to the police there, and we kept asking them, where's the law? Where's the law that says we can't do what we're doing where we're doing it? And they couldn't cite anything. I mean, the one guy kind of pulled one, out, but I've never been able to even verify that that was true. But the police have no idea what the state statutes are or the laws are. All they know, they just kept repeating, well, I have to do what the principal wants me to do.
Well, and also one of the other gals there that I won't name names, but she is basically headed up the school protest that we've been participating in. And she actually called to speak to the chief of police, the Sandpoint chief of police, and asked the chief of police what the statute was or where the law was found. And mm-hmm. You know what he told her? I'll have to get back to you on that. He doesn't even know, the chief of police.
Well, you know, so, guys, we have basically, as much as it bothers me to say this, we brought it on ourselves because we decided years ago we were going to do the left-right paradigm, and we were going to fight whether we were Democrat or whether we were Republican, whether we were left or whether we were right. And we forgot the Constitution, and we forgot the Bill of Rights and all of those discussions all of those years ago. And it didn't matter then, and after a while the candidates found out it didn't matter. So now it doesn't matter. They are ruling by fiat. They have nothing that officially gives them the right to do something, but as Mao Zedong said, our power comes out of the barrel of a gun. So it's force and coercion. That's what they're using, and if you don't like it, well, you can go to jail. So we brought this on ourselves with this wonderful left-right paradigm.
That's very true. And speaking of going to jail, a lot of our members of People's Rights, they've been going to these health board meetings or trying to attend the special session that we had a couple months back and just trying to participate and just sitting there peacefully, not being disruptive or anything. The health board meetings, they're requiring masks in of them, if not all of them. And so these folks, they go in there, try to just be a participant and just be there to listen and video and record what's going on, and they tell them that they have to leave if they don't want to wear a mask. And they tell them, well, there's no law that says that I have to wear a mask, number one. Number two, I have a right to be here. I am not being disruptive. I'm being peaceful. You need to leave me alone and let this meeting go on. And they won't. And they continue to tell them, you need to leave. And then they trespass them, and they don't give them a ticket for not wearing a mask. They give them a ticket for trespassing and arrest them and take them down and force them to bail out. And this has happened repeatedly. It happened at the state capitol, and it's happening at health districts. It's ridiculous. And I learned recently, too, that Martin Luther King was arrested 29 times, most of which were for trespassing, because they can't get you on anything else.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, is the fact that so many times now the police will put everything under failing to follow orders or you've got a direct command. There is nothing in our Constitution or Bill of Rights that says you have to follow the commands of a police officer. That is something that we have accepted. You know, they can threaten you, and, of course, they're doing it. And unfortunately, we have a legal system that supports that. You trying to get your rights enforced in today's judicial system is, tantamount to winning the lottery. About as many people will get their rights in a judicial system in America as win the lottery every week. It's been totally phased out. And again, not to beat that same old drum, but hey, we voted for it.
I know.
Yep.
I know it.
No,
and,
I agree.
And are you trespassing on public property too? That's the other thing. We're talking about the state capitol or a health district that I get that the district, the board of those districts are not elected positions. They're just appointed bureaucrats. But that building and their salary is funded by tax dollars. So that is public property.
Well, that is true, but look how many times that has been abused, and again, the people tolerate it, and they keep putting up with this over and over and over again, and look at the times, and I've seen it being a little longer in the tooth here, but I've seen it, I've been watching it for 35 years. I've been watching it come apart at the seams, and I've been watching people continue to tolerate it. You know, when you stop and think about it, we have how many people actually in this country, there's quite a few of them now, that work for the government, but there is nowhere near as many of those people as there are private citizens. The power is in the hands of the people. They just won't use it because they are so accustomed to just bending over and taking it from the government.
Right, and they don't want to deal with swimming upstream. They don't want to deal with any kind of conflict. They just want to, you know. Everybody tells me, I just want to be left alone. I agree with you, Kristen. I agree with you. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, but you know that's not for me. I don't want to deal with it. Like, well, wait till it's on your front doorstep.
It's already on the front doorstep. You know, and I was on a talk show today out of Ohio, and we were talking about the same thing. When you look at all of the things that has happened, the thing I think we have to do is we have to prepare people to fix this thing after the chaos. And I know no one wants to talk about that, but it's coming. And I believe it's coming next week after the election. I mean, there's just too many parameters, too many points of a psychological operation against the American people have been put into play here. And we are staring one dead in the face, and I think it's coming next week.
I got a phone call today, Mike, from a buddy down in Texas that he asked me if I've been in Walmart in the last 24 hours. And I said, what's up? And he goes, you should go to the sporting goods department, because he says they've taken all of the guns and all the ammunition off of the shelves.
Well, we knew
so
that was coming.
They know something's coming.
Oh, yes. And they are forewarned. They are told when these things are coming because they are – you know, they donate to big campaigns, and they're being taken care of. Big business is being taken care of in this country, whereas the middle-class American has been choked to death with this COVID thing, and that was done intentionally.
Yep. Absolutely. And here in Idaho, I know.
The ladies, one of you need to kind of give us a little bit of more information on the people's rights movement. I understand it's grown like leaps and bounds. And before you give us that information, I had acquaintance of Schaefer Cox up in Alaska. They had a thing up there they were calling the Liberty Bell, and they were basically doing similar things as to what the people's rights movement is doing, as far as having a network of people that can show up, get the cameras out, get the videos working on their phones, whatever, and basically to provide support for anybody that's got an event or something going on. If the police are going to show up at their doorstep, they'll have a group of people that'll come and we'll start, you know, videoing what's going on and provide support. And, of course, Schaefer was drawing a pretty big crowd, and he actually came up to Montana and had a pretty good sized meeting there, but he was getting literally up in the thousands of people to show up for his events where he was going to talk. And they trumped up charges on him. They sent infiltrators in, and it was the infiltrators that were actually the criminals. And they were basically cooperating as a confidential informant for the FBI in order to go in and make it look like they were doing something that they weren't, and that they were making violent threats. And it was the infiltrators that were actually encouraging all of that. And trumped up charges on conspiracy and threw his butt in jail for 26 years. And so I'm really wanting to hear a little bit more about how you're approaching and what's happening, that the word's getting out and you're getting literally a huge amount of people coming in and joining your effort. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. You want to, Wendy, or you want me here?
Yeah, you can start off.
Okay. Well. First of all, I would like to just kind of start with the basic mission statement of People's Rights, and that is uniting neighbors, and also claiming, using, and defending our rights. So it's about educating on rights and uniting neighbors. And so we have this network. It's a texting, and we also have email system. We have our website, peoplesrights.org. If you want to get put on the texting system, you can text RIGHTS to 80123. And not every single state has a network going, but there are several states going. Colorado does not have anything going yet. I know, Mike, you're over on the East Coast somewhere, aren't you?
Georgia.
Georgia. So Georgia does have a people's rights network going on. I know Florida does as well. Washington, Montana, Utah, a few others. So it's growing. It's for sure growing. And if somebody is in need, so if there's an emergency, and so somebody's at your doorstep and you need somebody to come to your defense, then you can actually text, I think it's SOS to the number that comes when you get the text from People's Rights. You can just text right back to that number, SOS, and one of the area assistants here will get in touch with you right away and see what's going on and see what we can do, and we'll, you know, send out a call of action to the members in the area. So it's all split out by area, so that the idea is that you're, you know, getting to know your neighbors right here in where you live. You know, sometimes we send out messages to the whole state. You know, if it's something that's going on at the Capitol, maybe we'll reach out to the whole state and say, hey, you know, can you show up to the state Capitol, you know, in 2 days or whatever. But we've been doing some classes. We have some experts that we've reached out to and are willing to donate their time to teach some classes. I'm actually driving right now, so hopefully I don't cut out, but I'm on my way to a meeting where one of our area assistants in the area just south of us, he's coming up to donate his time and teach us about alternative off-grid energy and fuel. So I'm going to do that class right now, and it's just different things like that. What would you say, Wendy?
Yeah, right now they have 35,000 people on People's Rights texting system. And it doesn't look like Georgia, you don't have anybody, Mike. Okay, you can start this there. Yeah, go. Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, seem to be the biggest groups right now. Idaho is probably the most active. The big thing that I noticed about People's Rights, being new to it, I'm literally like in my second month of even knowing about these guys. Respond with anybody that needs help. It truly is fantastic to watch, because somebody could have an issue and people are It could be minutes, depending on how close these people are to whatever's happening. I don't think you mentioned the lady that was having the issue at the hospital. They wouldn't take care of her three-year-old daughter because she wouldn't put a mask on her, and they declined her services, and her daughter was sick. And she texted that out to she got the area assistants to text that out to the area. The hospital was so inundated with phone calls that they apologized for back in, and they provided all the services for free.
You're kind of popping in and out, so if you could stay a little bit closer to that phone or do something to kind of stabilize it, it'd be great.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, we've been able to hear you all along, but it's just been inconsistent.
Okay. So I was just saying that a good example was the lady that had her daughter that went to the hospital, and she had a three-year-old that wasn't going to get services provided to her because she wouldn't want to put a mask on her. And the next day, the hospital apologized and had her back in, paid for all her services. That's how much power people actually have. And that's one thing with this people rights group that I've noticed is different than just doing political stuff, because the political stuff is for those who want to do that kind of thing, that have the energy and, the wherewithal to deal with it. But this, the people's rights stuff, everybody has a passion for this because everybody wants their freedom and everybody's trying to fight against all this stuff. It seems pretty intense here in Northern Idaho and actually all of Idaho. Just because of what you're saying, Mike, they do have that previous history of being independent and being freedom fighters and that kind of thing. And it's really to their advantage right now. So with the people's rights and the network that they have, the area leaders that they have are so good. And I'm just so impressed with them, and like we had emergency medical training from this gentleman who has 30 years experience of being a field medic. He did special security for overseas facilities for years and years and years. His level of knowledge was astounding, and he spent almost 3 hours with us going over everything that we need for like medical emergencies and stuff like that. And he was just like, I'm doing this for free because I love my country and I love the people.
You were doing really good for a while, and now I'm not sure, but you're starting to go in and out again.
Sorry, I'm going to see if I can sit outside. Can you hear me? Is this better?
Much better. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so anyways, just the quality.
Just the quality
of people that are here. And that are able to help us with the things we need to learn or want to learn, it's astounding. I mean, you'd have to pay good money for some of these people. I mean, they're doing it all for free. It's great. It's a really good network.
It really is. It's amazing.
So
we're just missing you,
Mike. Todd has a live mic up there. Would one of you ladies like to introduce Todd before Kristen has to break away on us?
You go ahead, Kristen.
I haven't known Todd too terribly long. It's kind of a coincidence that we happen to work together, but we also just coincidentally ran into each other at a political event outside of work and said hi to each other that night. And this was before I met him and he, became part of People's Rights. And so then next thing I know, I see him at a People's Rights meeting. And so he is now one of our area assistants up here in the One North region for People's Rights. And he is just a very principled, liberty-minded guy who is humble and, just has really been an asset to the network up here, and I'm proud to know him.
Excellent. Thank you, Kristen. And yeah, it's good to be a part of a network like People's Rights. It's something that I've been looking for a long time because I've always kind of wondered, you know, how we are able to or going to be able to maintain the authority and the power that we have as a people. We did not relinquish or give up our powers that we reserve to ourselves, our natural rights, our God-given rights. And that's what the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our state constitutions were all written to grant government some small amount of authority and some small amount of power to conduct operations that really are intended to secure our rights. And what we've lost in this country through our government schooling system primarily and the failings of our churches is to recognize what kind of authority we have over ourselves and over our own lives, over our own families. And we're losing track of even how to protect that because our only strength is really when we bond together as a people and work together as a people to keep government in check. And we've been called things like anti-government. But really, I think when government oversteps their bounds and starts operating outside of the limits that has been established, they're usurping our authority from us, and they're taking it from us, and they're expecting us to just sit by and let it be stripped away. And what I like about the People's Rights Network is it's given us a tool now to actually be neighbors to each other and to bond together as neighbors and to help each other. It's like if someone's breaking into your house, you call the police. If somebody's trying to take away your child, you call the police. But what if it's the police that are breaking into your house? What if it's the police that are trying to take away your child? Who do you call? And all you can call are your neighbors. And, you know, if you're in the right, your neighbors will come to your aid. And if you're in the wrong, they certainly won't. But what we need is some kind of a network that lets people reach out to each other, be a neighbor to each other, because if we all get picked off one at a time, little by little, those who stand up for our rights and try to protect our rights, eventually will lose all of our power.
I'm not sure who's got the dog, but if you're not talking, you might mute. So.
Hopefully you were hearing me, right?
To be with us.
I have 10 more minutes or 11 more minutes until I have to go into this meeting.
Well, good. What else did you have on your mind you wanted to try to cover tonight, Kristen? Todd, that was great. I appreciate your articulation on that.
Thank you.
Well, one thing I was going to kind of do a little shout out to. We have some really awesome liberty-minded truth-revealing media types up here. So one thing I think, you know, a major enemy to the liberty movement is the media, obviously. It's again, bought and paid for, and these guys, they don't really investigate anything, and they just tell flat-out lies. And so we have one guy up here, and he's actually part of the People's Rights Network, and he is Casey Whalen from North Idaho Exposed, and he just does an amazing job. I encourage anybody listening to look him up. He exposes, you know, all kinds of stuff going on up here. He's been on some radio shows and other shows. Just the other night, he did an interview with, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was in the UK. So, I mean, Idaho is actually kind of leading the way almost worldwide right now. It was kind of cool. But, yeah, Casey Whalen with North Idaho Exposed, and then also Readout News up here in Spokane, Washington. They do an excellent job about, you know, they just tell the truth, you know. And when the media comes out with all the lies, they come out and they tell what's real. So I think it's good to support those kinds of people that are getting the truth out like that. Do you have anything, Todd, that you had in mind that you wanted to talk about? Did we lose Todd? We might have lost him.
I had muted my phone so that I wouldn't you wouldn't hear me breathing or something. But I would just encourage people all over the country to I'd encourage people all over the country to at least text RIGHTS, the word RIGHTS, R-I-G-H-T-S, to 80123 and get on the network. I think we're in about half of the states in the country right now. There's some states with networks that aren't fully established and some states that don't have a network at all. But if people start joining together, getting to know who your neighbors are, you'll be surprised at how many like-minded neighbors you have, how many skilled neighbors you have that can teach you something, and you might even be surprised at how many skills you have that you can teach others. And if we start working together and getting to know each other and being able to help each other out when someone needs some help, you'd be surprised at how much that fear will go away that's trying to be instilled in us right now through the media and through our government. Right now, our government and our media, I think, is trying to instill a lot of fear in us and then try to be the heroes to save us from those fears. And really, our strength is in our numbers. Our strength is in our neighbors. Our strength is in our friendships. And People's Rights ties that all together in a way that I've never seen anything, any movement before in the past, anything like that. So I would just encourage people to start looking for ways to join us, peoplesrights.org, or texting RIGHTS to 80123, and start getting to know your neighbors. Even just go to your neighbors that are in the area and ask them to do the same thing. Get to know your neighbors if you don't know them, because we need to get to know each other. We've gotten too far away from the people that live right next door. We've gotten too far away from the people that could be our best friends and could be our best assets and our best connections. We need to get closer to these people and get to know each other.
Well, absolutely.
That's a powerful statement, and you really need to promote it, because it turns out that only 1 out of 10 people will actually make a positive change in their life if they hear a truth, and 80% of the people will only make a positive change in the context of a relationship. The mere fact that you guys are communicating and expanding those relationships is really critical going forward. Mike mentioned a while ago about the chaos that's coming and how we really need to be ready to establish how we're going to go forward. Mike, you might want to make more comment about that. But we're not going to be successful in anything we try if we haven't gone out and built relationships and brought more people to the table so that they're willing to – they realize, for one, they're not alone. That's critical. A lot of people out there get isolated, and they feel like they're alone. It makes them lack confidence, makes them more subjected to the fear. And last week, Mike shared with us some writings, some speeches of Patrick Henry. And one of the things that came out of that was Patrick Henry made the comment that, I believe it was he, Mike, you can correct me, but he said, "Fear is the passion of slaves." That is an extremely profound statement. Mike, you want to comment about that?
Amen.
Well, that is exactly true. And Todd, welcome. The government uses fear. You alluded to that, and that is their number one weapon. And if you look today and we look at media, and one of the things you have to talk people into doing is turn off that damn lobotomy box you call a TV and quit watching, because anytime you see news on TV and you see the same subject over and over and over and over, that is indoctrination. It is not formation. And if they hit you with the same phrases, everything, no matter how many channels you change to, whether it's NBC, CBS, or PMSNBC, it's still the same tone, the same message, the same words. That is indoctrination. That is part of a psyop. I was involved in a few of those. So stay away from those repetitive messages. Stay away from the media. They told us 40 years ago what they intended to do here, guys, at least 30 years ago. Number one, the director of the CIA said, "We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." They told you what they're going to do. And then we had Operation Mockingbird with the CIA. Those Christians in Action guys, they did the they did Operation Mockingbird. They have admitted they own the media and control the media. So when you listen to the media, you are not hearing positive statements. And for these people to come up in individual areas, as was mentioned, Kristen, I think is a fantastic idea. If you have people who can do it, come up with an original news source. If you can do it on the internet to start with, that is fine. Start telling people the truth about what's going on, and then you can steal some of the fear power that government uses. People react to fear. Fear is a basic emotion, and people will react to fear probably more than any other emotion that there is. So that is the number one tool of government. We have to break that hold on the minds of the people.
Amen.
Amen. Very well said.
I'm going to wait till after you're gone, Kristen, to say some pretty strong language things, but I don't want to tie up your short time with us here. So you might have some closing comments before you depart.
I know we talk a lot about, you know, the negative things going on out there, and you know, we talk about one of the things I've kind of been a little bit, I guess, I don't know, I get discouraged by sometimes is when somebody says, like, hey, what can I do to prepare for what's potentially coming? And, you know, I've gotten a lot of answers that say, like, well, if you haven't been preparing for the last 20 years, then you're too late to the game. You know, that's not helpful. And so I just think, you know, I get the reality is not great, but there are still things that we can do. And, you know, it may not be a winning battle, me going to speak in front of the school district board, I'm going to keep doing it. And, you know, until I decide I don't want to do it anymore, but I'm going to keep doing it for now. And I want people to keep fighting the good fight. Even though it may seem discouraging at times, and I definitely have my moments where I just need to check out, and you know, I just get very discouraged sometimes. But you know, we have small wins too. Like Wendy was saying earlier, our friend who, you know, we had that win with the hospital. You know, we may not win with an entire district board, but those little kinds of wins like that, those are important too. And so it's just, you know, never say never, and never doubt. And always fight the good fight.
Well, and going on Kristen's comments, I think, you know, the good thing about this network, which is so important, like you were saying, you know, not everybody has been preparing for 20 years or maybe even not even for 6 months. But what's nice with this network is that you have so many people that have been doing that and are willing to help and are going to be there for a lot of people. So, and that's what I think is important as we get to know each other and work together and know who we can trust, you know, and all that stuff. This network is vital, but at the same time, unfortunately, they're going to know it's vital as well, and they're going to do everything they can to destroy it. So hopefully we don't let them do that.
Yep, we got to stop the rat.
I think what you guys are doing to protect the kids, to raise the issue that the school should not be putting masks on people, especially children, because they don't even have the ability to metabolize the oxygen flow when it's reduced the way the mask reduces it. I want to mention something real quick. Fauci, everyone knows who Fauci is. He reported back during the flu epidemic that occurred some years ago, he reported on the fact that many of the deaths that occurred during that flu epidemic were not from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia caused by wearing masks. Now, if he had knowledge that many of the people that died died because of a bacterial infection caused by masks, And he's now telling people that they need to wear masks and that the schools need to be, use that type of social distancing and masking as a solution. What does that make that man?
Makes him dangerous.
A liar.
That's premeditated.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Guys, I'm going. I appreciate you having me on tonight. You guys have a good rest of the show. I'm going to drop off.
Thanks, Kristen.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll be in touch later. Enjoy your class tonight.
Take care.
All right, I will. Good night.
Bye.
And we're hearing all kinds of language regarding the masks about the masks. We're hearing all kinds of language about these developing, information or this new information about how masks are helpful and how they're working. But all random controlled trials so far ever conducted on masks regarding respiratory viruses have shown that they are not helpful. And that studies also show that the masks, not only are they not helpful, it leaves out the fact that people touch their masks all the time and handle their masks and move their masks around. And any gain that you could even be hoped to be gained by wearing a mask is lost the minute you touch it, move it, lower it, do anything like that. And that even makes things worse as well. You're not recognizing the science behind the masks that already shows that they're not helpful and they're even harmful.
Mike, you got anything to add to that?
There are so many points to this, so many things that trouble me. But when it comes to the preparation part, guys, the most critical point, and I try to emphasize this to people, and if you start saying about preparation 20 years ago and all that other stuff, remember that tomorrow's the first day of the rest of your life. So preparation can begin at any time. But the important part is you are not going to survive. I don't care how much freeze-dried food you have. I don't care how many bullets you have or how many rifles you have. You are not going to survive if you aren't mentally prepared for what's going to happen. Because if chaos comes and you panic, you've lost it all. So the most important thing is mental preparation. Prepare yourself mentally for what could happen.
Very true.
Exactly, and I think we've had a
couple there's no
speakers
question.
On that, haven't we?
There's no question that the supply chains have been interrupted and that a global food shortage is beginning and has already begun. So one of the preparations that need to be made is that everyone – at this point, it's not too late because the shelves are still stocked at the stores, but the supply chains have been busted. And as soon as the panic strikes from the chaos that is coming from every corner of prediction that I've seen, we need to be prepared to be able to feed ourselves for at least 6 to 8 weeks, preferably 90 days, if you can't go to the store and replenish. Everyone just needs to understand that right now there's never been a more important time to be prepared for those supply chains to literally dry up in the face of panic. And it's like Mike said, panic is the problem. And if you don't have the preparation that you need, guess what? You're going to be more inclined to panic.
Yeah.
That's true. And another thing, if chaos does, when it does or if it does break out, communication's going to be lacking. It's not like we're going to be talking on phones like this anymore. Or, our texting ability could go away. Internet, who knows what's going to happen with that? It's already so censored. So communications, people need to mentally prepare that you're not going to be just calling up you know, your friends or your family and checking on them and saying, hey, how are you doing? So, you know, it's another mental aspect that you got to start thinking about.
Yes. more comment on what you were talking about, because you have a logistics training, Mike, and your wisdom and stuff is important to be these folks. I think will share it and spread the word. So don't be afraid to share some more of your knowledge here.
Wendy and I have discussed this just between she and I on multiple occasions. One of the first things, and I saw this back in the early 90s in Arizona, and anytime you get an organization that begins to become known publicly like your group is doing, one of the first things that you're going to be hit with is infiltrators. You're going to be hit with government stooges, people who are trying to work off a crime, and so they come and join, or you have the actual agents themselves who will infiltrate your system. One of the things that I would tell people is if you have a gathering of 100 people, 10 of them, usually 10% are going to be agents that aren't on your side. From various alphabet agencies or what have you, the government stays on top of this. Please believe me. I know. They stay on top of these things. They monitor these things. And if something begins to gather too much strength, you will be infiltrated. You can usually pick out the infiltrators very easily because they will want to, they will have all of the exuberance and all of the energy and everything. Oh, let's go do this. Let's get this done. Blah, blah, blah. Those are the guys you need to watch out for. And it is coming. I promise you it's coming. 10 years ago, I wrote an article dealing with this, which was kind of funny. It wasn't published. The agency I was writing for refused to publish this article where I outlined some of this. They did not publish the article, but 3 days later, I've got two black SUVs in my yard, and I have FBI agents asking me why I am anti-government. So believe me, they have access to everything you write, everything, every keystroke, every email, everything is captured and goes into Utah, goes into a headquarters. They're not all looked at. But once you begin to bring up the attention, those things are monitored on a daily basis. And if they see you as a threat, you will be infiltrated. I would make my cautionary statement to be very, very careful about everyone in your organization. Do background checks if you have to on your own, if you've got new people that worry you. Please do that, because if you don't, I saw groups in Tucson, Arizona, end up in the federal penitentiary because of those infiltrators. That is the thing I would caution you about.
Yeah, that's good advice, Mike. And I'll point out, too, you brought up the word, or I may have brought it up earlier, but the term anti-government. And, you know, pro-Constitution people are being called anti-government. And so I got to ask the question, so that means if you're pro-government, does that mean you're anti-Constitution? And I think we know the answer to that. But another thing that's being used is the control of language and the miscommunication, intentional miscommunication, where terms are redefined, words are redefined. You think you're talking to somebody about something, and you realize you're using the same words, but you've got completely different perspectives on what those things mean. And it's difficult to have a debate anymore today with the left and the right paradigm and the idea that language doesn't we're not all speaking the same language half the time. And regarding infiltrators, yeah, you'll have government infiltrators. I think you also have to worry about even infiltrators from these leftist groups that aren't even out, that are outside of government. You're going to have you know, Antifa, BLM, these other organizations that are coming up. If it's easy enough to join your organization by just texting a word to a phone number, you're going to have everybody and their brother trying to get in to see what's going on if they think that they can if they think that they have to be concerned about you in some form or fashion.
Well, that is certainly true, and one of the things I would caution people about, this has been coming incrementally. The thing that happens is there's never, ever one big bum's rush to take away all of your liberties and all of your freedom. It's done incrementally. Go back to the wonderful Clinton administration and wonderful Janet Napolitano, and go back and look at the Department of Homeland Security, who she defined, and it came out, and she defined who the anti-government agents were in the country, and she listed Christians, constitutionalists, anti-abortion people, pro-Second Amendment people. She mentioned all of these people, and then she included one of the most deadly groups is veterans. Well, the only feedback she got, the only blowback she got on that was from veterans. Christians didn't complain. Anti-abortion people didn't complain. Second Amendment people didn't complain. So they are still listed on, and constitutionalists are still listed at the Department of Homeland Security as potential domestic terrorists. It's in the government's own words. It's there. So she removed the veterans because they caught so much flack. But that's the only one that got removed from their list. And that list still stands at the Department of Homeland Security.
That's
so
true.
We know who the targets are. We know who they're after. And they don't hide it. It's not a hidden subject.
No, and they're getting their information from groups like the SPLC and others that are staunchly against any pro-constitutionalist. And the SPLC is a huge leftist organization.
Well, Todd, one of the things I will tell you is that in Colorado in 2010, I helped a man get elected sheriff. And because he espoused the fact that he was going, and Wendy's well aware of this, he espoused the fact that he wanted to be a constitutionalist. And he really wanted to be a constitutional sheriff. And he said, he talked to me and he said, look, when I was campaigning, as I've been walking around campaigning, I have talked to the people and I say, what do you think is the greatest problem we face in our little county here, 25,000 people? And he said, 90% of the people told me that the thing they feared most was the federal government. He said, no one said child molesters, no one said drug dealers, no one said robberies, no one said drunk drivers. They said the federal government. So
well,
he said,
not any difference.
And he said, I want to do something about that. He said, I really do. And I thought I believe he was being genuine. But he got caught up in politics. He'd been a cop too long. But anyway, he decided to defend the thin blue line instead of the Constitution. But anyway, one of the things that happened is, and it was kind of funny that it came up, because at that time the BLM and the Forest Service were blocking off roads in Colorado, and they were saying, okay, you can't have access to this property, you can't have access to the other property. And so they blocked a road after this guy was elected. They blocked a road, and so the BLM Forest Service blocked one of the roads, which made the people who lived on out past the Forest Service property on that road, that they had to travel an additional 12 miles to go around another direction to get home. And so he called me and he said, okay, he said, how many people, he said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to cut that lock off. He said, because this is just wrong. He said, I'm not going to let it happen to the people in my community. I'm going to go out and cut that lock off. And I said, okay, fine. So, he said, how many people could you get to go with me? I need some citizens. I'm going to have deputies, but I want citizen support on this. And he said, how many citizens can you get for me? And I said, well, give me a few minutes. And so I started making phone calls, because I'd been teaching constitutional classes there for some time. So I started making phone calls, and I said, I called him back in an hour, and I said, Dennis? And he said, what? And I said, I've got 75 people. He said, what? He said, I was thinking five or six. I said, well, I've got 75, And I said, they have one condition. And he said, what's that? And I said, they all said they will not come unless they can be armed. And he said, I wouldn't want them any other way. So he called the local BLM department. They said no one was there to talk to him. He called Durango. They said no one was there to talk to him. So then he called Denver. And he said, look, I'm going out to cut that lock off, and I'm taking my deputies and 75 citizens. And he left it on an answering machine. In 5 minutes, he had a call back from the Durango office, and they said, we'll be out there, take the gate down in 10 minutes.
Nice.
But the thing that happened was, is shortly after that happened, it was a Saturday afternoon, and I get a call from the sheriff, and he says, hey, Mike, he said, could you come down to my office? He said, I've got this reporter in here, and he's asking me some questions, and he said, I don't feel comfortable with him. He said, can you come and sit with us? He said, I would like for you to be here. And he said, he actually mentioned you. And I said, okay. So I went in, and I was sitting there, and I looked down. The guy gave us some name about some magazine that he wrote for. And I said, and he started asking the sheriff about how he was working with the BLM, the Forest Service, and everything else. Well, I happened to look down at his briefcase, and it had a zipper on it. And I looked down at the at a key tag he had on his zipper, and I said, wait, I've got a question for you. And he said, okay, what's that? And I said, how long have you been with the Southern Poverty Law Center? And his mouth was just open. He said, what are you talking about? And I said, you're with the Southern Poverty Law Center. And he said, I said, yes, you are. Admit it. He said, okay, well, I'm in a branch of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And so because of our standing up and getting American citizens involved, somehow the SPLC found out about it. And we had, and as we were having meetings, we were infiltrated with the Southern Poverty Law Center. And the only thing true about that is they're Southern. There's no poverty involved, and they're certainly not a law center. So they lie about everything else. They have lied about their whole beginning. They've lied about everything they've ever done. And so they are, in fact, and please take me at my word on this. I can't show you evidence of this, but they are definitely an arm of the CIA.
Yep.
And they will actually, they do intelligence work for the Christians in Action, the wonderful people up there. So that is something people need to be really, really careful of, because they came to a little podunk town in Colorado in a heartbeat when the people started getting involved. So anytime someone comes to you and says they're with a magazine or they're with anything else, check their credentials, do a background check before you tell them anything, because you're speaking right into the mouthpiece of the people who have sent together intelligence about you.
Good points. Good thing to remember. I do know the Southern Poverty Law Center is identified. Oh, go ahead.
I'll throw a name out. Edgar Steele. Edgar went after those who are behind the ADL and the HPLC. They framed him. They put him in prison. They gave him psychotropic drugs, and they killed him in prison. And as far as I'm concerned, the blood is on the hands of the SPLC and the ADL, because they're the ones that have infiltrated and have agents, not just in the C_A, but also the FBI. I'll shut up. Go ahead, Todd.
Go ahead, Wendy.
I was just going to say, so Todd, after you're hearing all this, I hope you're not going to discontinue being our area assistant.
Yeah, I'm just an assistant. I'm not a leader.
Paranoid. That's right.
No, I'm not a leader. Yep.
Group. That's right.
That's right.
That's
I'm just
right.
An assistant.
Just
I'm only here to help. But
let's
yeah, the HPLC.
Guys, you know, I was going to say a while ago that Mike and I are not saying this to discourage people. We want you to keep doing what you're doing. But we want you to do it with your eyes open so that when this happens, because it's going to happen, we want you to be ready for it and be mentally prepared for it.
Hey, Terry, let me say something here. Here's something people need to understand. When they decide, I told the sheriff after that SPLC guy left, I turned to him and I said, that is the best recommendation you have gotten since you've been in office. Because if you are troubling the SPLC, you are doing your job properly. So if you are out there working towards freedom and you don't become a target, you're not doing the job right.
Yeah, I do know. I do know the SPLC and this this Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights, the IREHR, has come out with a report on people's rights, calling us basically an armed militia. The ACLED, which is the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project, has identified the people's rights as a armed militia with concern of a violent uprising after this election. I mean, it's all so untrue and so slanted. What's funny, though, is these are small little one-man organizations, but media organizations have taken these reports and run with it. And so now this is all getting out there as if some sort of report validates these statements that these individuals have made by, you know, calling themselves whatever, IREHR and ACLED and SPLC. And they run with this stuff spread it all around the regular news media, and none of it is true. I mean, if you look, anyone who's listening, go just Google some people's rights protests, and you find mothers and children and families at these protests, people peacefully protesting, trying to preserve our rights. We're not an armed militia. We're a powerful organization because we're people that are willing to stand up. But we're not dangerous. We're only dangerous to people who are threatening our rights.
Well, I heard,
and what we're dangerous to is them keeping their job.
Some years ago. Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we're families.
Are,
we're families. We're mothers and we're children.
Well, but that is the threat, and that is what is coming from these people. You don't know probably much about me, Todd, and you're probably better off not knowing. But anyway, in 2005, I was one of the leaders of the Minuteman Project on the border in Arizona.
Right.
And if you want to start that, we brought down more hellfire than anybody could imagine, because we attracted so much attention with what we thought was going to be a little noticed event in April of 2005. We had Sean Hannity and Lou Dobbs on the border doing programs. I mean, they weren't doing them from Fox Studio or what have you. They were actually came to the border to do these programs. We had to have three people that we had just entertaining the foreign press. And I could write you a book about how quick that the opposing forces came down on the Minuteman Project in a very big effort. And the leader of that project to discourage and to dismantle the Minuteman Project was the Republican Party. So do not think that just because they come in and call themselves conservatives or Republicans that they're on your side, because they're not.
Absolutely.
And that was one of the that's one of the things that absolutely blew my mind in 2005, but I can take you back to 1986-87. I was vice president of the American Foundation for the Accountability of Prisoners of War and Missing in Action in Washington, D.C. And we were working hard to get to the American public the deceit that had taken place about our prisoners of war that had been left in the hands of our enemies in three separate wars. 1,000 American POWs, and the government covered it over. After Korea, there were 8,000. The government covered that up so they wouldn't show that they had left people in the hands of the enemy. Those people were tortured, used for medical experiments, everything else. And then we were dealing with the ones from Vietnam. And we were hard at work, traveling to, going to congressmen, going to senators' office, you know, somebody's office in the Department of Defense. We were working on this, trying to get a bill through Congress that would prevent the government from just leaving people in the hands of our enemy. We were working about that, working on that, and guess who shut us down? Guess who sent infiltrators in? The Republican Party.
Yeah.
So if you are, and this would be most people who are doing what you're doing, Todd, and I thank you for what you're doing. I really do.
Amen.
And Wendy, you know how I feel about you, lady. If the one of do not let your guard down and think for a moment that because somebody comes to you with conservative credentials that they're there to help you. In the Minuteman project, they came in and they bled the project dry. They bled it dry.
We're down
money.
To 1 minute.
Oh gosh, I didn't realize
down
we were that far.
We're down
in.
To
I'm
1 minute.
Mike. Go ahead, guys.
I know. I just want Todd and Wendy to have about 30 seconds to give their closing comments.
Please do.
Go ahead, Wendy. I'll let you start.
Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody having us on. Appreciate it. Gaddy, you're awesome like usual. Todd, keep up the hard fight. You're doing the right thing. Love what you've done here, and I hope it keeps going because we need you guys. We need you guys in Idaho.
You got it. And I just encourage everybody to remember your creator. Remember who gave you your rights. Keep your eye on God. Keep your eye on Jesus Christ. Keep your eye on doing what's right, and you'll have him on your side. And look to your neighbors. And your neighbors are your best assets. And if you want to get to know them better, one good way to do that is to text the word rights to 80123 and look up peoplesrights.org.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Amen.
This has been Handling the Truth, and we'll be back. And I'd like to have you guys back in 2 weeks, by the way. I think Mike and I extend that invitation for them to come back in 2 weeks.
Oh, certainly. They can come back
give
in 10 minutes if they want
to. Give us
to.
An update.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
You
good
too.
Night,
thank
guys.
You. Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life you're only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life you're only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of a dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life you're only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of the dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Won't you take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life you're only waiting for this moment to be free. You're only waiting for this moment to be free. You were only waiting for this moment to be free.